This is an audio archive edition of WINA's Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot, made available online by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network, cvillepodcast.com.
Brian Wheeler joins us live in studio on this lovely afternoon. He is the executive director of Charlottesville Tomorrow online at cvilletomorrow.org, and he joins us every Tuesday afternoon in this hour to keep us updated about growth and development issues and local politics. And before we go anywhere, we need to remind everybody that the big story this week, of course, is pie. The Seville Pie Fest has finally arrived.
This Saturday, Crozet Mud House.
Sort of crept up on you, didn't it?
It did. I'm going to have to fast all Saturday morning.
Yeah, you can't get up Saturday and have a big breakfast.
No.
What do you normally have for Saturday, like for breakfast? What do you eat
Not
for breakfast?
Not much. A bowl of mini wheats or something.
People don't eat big breakfasts anymore, do they?
I don't.
Do you eat breakfast during the week?
Not too much. Yogurt, maybe.
A yogurt? Are you like a food bar guy? You get Bounce bars and that kind of thing? Do you do those?
No.
Because I like those.
I don't like anything that takes a lot of work in the morning. About all I can handle is coffee.
Oh, you're a coffee drinker.
I get up and make the coffee.
There you go.
And then I walk to the mailbox while the coffee's percolating.
Oh, okay.
There pick up go. The daily progress.
When do you wake up?
Oh, between 7 and 8, 7, 7.
Do you set the alarm?
No.
You don't? You just wake up?
Just wake up.
Yeah, that's impressive. There's Michael Bassetti's coffee.
Coffee drinker walking by.
I'm not a coffee drinker. I never was.
He's really just scanning to see if there's any pie in here. He heard pie.
And that is this coming Saturday at the Crozet Mud House at 12 noon sharp. And
We're judges.
And
do you know what we're supposed to do?
I have no idea. I was going to ask you. Do you know what we're supposed to do?
I have no idea. I'm waiting for a tweet to tell me what to do.
I know we're going to eat some pie, but how do you judge them?
Because this whole thing was organized on Twitter. So I'm just waiting for somebody to tweet me and tell me what to do. If I need to know anything,
yeah,
I'm fully prepared just to show up and do my thing.
Right, right.
And I will bring extra copies of my pie grading chart, I guess, just in case we need them.
Now, what is it? What's on the pie grading chart?
Well, you know, you got to measure the taste and the consistency and the crust and
yeah.
I'm looking for homemade crust.
How do you? I was talking to somebody today because I don't know if I could identify the difference.
Oh yeah.
Can you?
Oh yeah.
You can tell the difference?
I can tell the difference.
Really?
Oh yeah.
What do you look for? Between like store bought crust, because you can buy those crust shells, right, at the grocery store?
Sure.
And just put a pie in it.
You could.
And bake it.
You could. But if you're entering a pie contest, you want to go all the way.
And make your own crust.
I'm just telling people.
But we don't want to turn people away.
I don't, but you know, we're looking for the best, Coy.
Well, how do you know there's
a
difference?
We're trying to raise the bar on
how do your taste buds, Brian Wheeler, know the difference? What do you look for? Is it just more buttery?
Is it softer? It's one of those things you just know it when you taste it.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
It's sort of like a crust that melts in your mouth?
And then I always ask them, just in case, you know, did you make that?
So confirm.
You know, I'm a reporter. I got to confirm.
You can check it out online at cvillepiefest.com. It's this coming Saturday at Crozet. Everybody is welcome. There is no charge to come on out. And I imagine, will there be pie for sale? Like, people will be able to get some of this pie? Because somebody's coming, they want to have some pie, too.
My assumption is there'll be plenty of pie for everybody.
Yeah, all right.
We have to pace ourselves as judges, Coy. Just remember that. You can't just eat the first pie that they put in front of you.
I don't know nothing about no pacing. Not a good
pacer. You have to cleanse your palate in between.
How do you do that?
I'm not sure, but we'll figure it out. I'll bring some saltines or
something. Take a napkin and rub it on your tongue.
Saltines, I think.
Well, it's going to be a lot of fun. It's this coming Saturday at 12 noon, and Brian and I are judges along with a whole bunch of other folks, and we got a lot of folks bringing out pie. The first annual Seville Pie Fest. It's about community. It's about a town that loves its pie. Join us in Crozet this coming Saturday at 12 noon. Everybody is welcome, and if you want to bring a pie, make sure that you get online at cvillepiefest.com and let them know. A quick break. We're talking with Brian Wheeler. This is Charlottesville Right Now. Let's rejoin our conversation with Brian Wheeler, the executive director of Charlottesville Tomorrow, online at cvilletomorrow.org. Now, this is huge news. We starting with the roads?
Right.
This is big.
It's really big.
This is big. It was in the Progress. Sean Tubbs, on your one of your team members, wrote this story.
That's right.
And it was in the Progress. And I think everybody's sort of going, oh, my God. VDOT wants to do what now to our town?
If that's your reaction, you need to drive in your car right now to the UVA Fontaine Research Park, because the Department of Forestry in the back of the research park is where they're having a public open house right now from 5 to 8 o'clock. You can drop in, look at these plans for the 29 corridor from the North Carolina state line to Gainesville, Virginia. So VDOT has taken on sort of, you know, let's take a broad look at the whole corridor. What do we need at different places to make this corridor work for Virginia?
Yeah.
And what got our attention, Coy, were two major road projects for Charlottesville that had not previously been on any drawing boards. And, you know, Dennis Rooker, supervisor in the Jack Jewett District, who's opposed to the bypass, but Dennis Rooker, who is in, supports, you know, grade separation on Route 29, so elevating some of those crossover streets.
As do I.
Rio, Hydraulic.
Yeah.
And create little tight interchange changes there.
Yeah.
Will it impact businesses on the corner? Yes.
Yeah.
But try to make it as tight and, you know, small footprint as possible. So when Dennis is often describing these things, he will say, you know, grade separation is not something that, you know, space aliens just drop on you and you don't recognize it. However, when I look at these drawings over the past week, I was thinking to myself, Dennis Rooker would call this something from outer space.
Indeed. It looks like it. This picture I'm looking at right now of this highway that takes you from 29 and then sort of up over the Kmart parking lot, through up over where the Kroger is now, and then sort of loops you down to connect to the 250 bypass.
Yeah, from this perspective, I think you'd have a great view of Charlottesville and surroundings. Yeah. Up there, and you could look down on Kroger, you know, where the old drive-in theater used to be.
Yeah, you go right over that. This is like our own little mixing bowl up at Springfield. This is like our own little version that VDOT wants to put in Charlottesville.
I got to say, Coy, this is they're calling this the 250 hydraulic connector. Ironically, hydraulic doesn't connect to it at all.
Yeah.
At least not.
It just goes over hydraulic.
It just goes over it. You know, what the community has been trying to figure out between hydraulic, where the 7-Eleven is, and the 29-250 bypass, is how to fix that choke point.
Yeah.
Two things they've talked about. Adding lanes. Make it wider. Now, that stretch is in the city of Charlottesville. Charlottesville has always been very concerned about grade separation there and impacting businesses, because in Charlottesville are three corners of that corner. The 7-Eleven is in Albemarle County. So Charlottesville's been very sensitive about the hydraulic 29 interchange, but we've had lots of planning exercises to figure this out. And the consensus in this community up until this point has been add more turn lanes in front of Best Buy so that you get two ramps of traffic getting onto the 29-250 bypass.
Which would make a huge difference.
People always seem to like
and
that.
And you wouldn't
idea.
Have to play the cut-in game like I play, where you get in the left far left lane and then try to figure out how you're going to get,
right.
Once you pass that light at hydraulic, how are you going to get from the far left lane to the far right lane between hydraulic and Best Buy?
And you start sweating about that back up at the post office.
Yeah, you start thinking, okay, where am I going to get in the line, right, or am I going to cut in down the road?
So the ideas we've had have been to put in more lanes and then eventually put in grade separation at hydraulic. So let you go straight through without hitting a stoplight there. The other things they've done are synchronize the traffic lights. And Charlottesville is on the cusp, if they haven't done so already, of getting their lights down at Angus Road.
Oh, thank goodness.
Connected with the rest of them heading up 29 North.
Yeah.
So that's how we have approached this, and that's how, Coy, it was talked about in the Places 29 master plan.
And then VDOT comes to the table and says,
that's the strange thing. VDOT was involved in Places 29. So I look at this, Coy, and I think...
And yet they come back with this plan that's from Mars.
So what the from Mars aspect of this is, somewhere north of hydraulic, the lanes would... You would start figuring this out much further up north. Somehow you would get into these center lanes that are going to be the only ones that can get on this overpass at the Kroger. And so somewhere you would transition into these center lanes, and then you'd suddenly find yourself on this overpass heading over the Kroger if it's still there, heading over the hotel if it's still there.
Yeah.
You look down, you see the Red Lobster, and then you're sort of swinging under the existing 29-250 bypass somehow. And And then you got to merge, and they don't show the merging taking place afterwards.
No, they hide it behind some trees.
There's some trees conveniently covering that up. So somewhere past the Best Buy and Barracks Road, there's going to be some other complicated merging scenario.
A huge, major merging.
So wait, yeah, the only thing I can think of, Corey, is they have put a picture on this to make it look so bad and so Northern Virginia that the Charlottesville community would just say, oh, you know that idea you had about grade separation at hydraulic? That was a much better idea.
VDOT's good at that.
I don't know if that's
they
what
did that
doing.
Back in the early 80s with the Meadow Creek Parkway, because folks were actually getting to a point where they were getting some sentiment on council and in city council, and folks in the city were starting to agree with them. So VDOT said, okay, here's an alternative. And they showed this picture of a Meadow Creek Parkway that went a different route and went through all of these homes and got rid of all these homes. So everybody freaked and said, no, keep it in the park, keep it in the park. So they're very good at selling an idea to people and scaring people.
Another idea that was presented.
And I love how this picture of this proposed flyover highway in the sky in Charlottesville just assumes that there's no businesses where there are businesses. And it's sort of...
Well, it's funny. Like, they put sort of faux buildings there.
Yeah.
That's called the redevelopment brown.
Yeah, yeah. It's like monopoly buildings here where there are businesses today that are already there, and they just assume that we're going to get rid of those.
And redevelop.
Yeah.
Which is an assumption made about a lot of, you know, transportation planning. You know, Hillsdale Drive, you know, we have that, you know, there are real buildings in front of Hillsdale Drive, as you know, the theater. And so there are some assumptions that go into road projects and thinking about redevelopment. But you have to get private property holders to, you know, play with you
To buy into this.
Or eminent domain. But anyway, that was certainly the drawing that got everyone's attention. The Daily Progress did a little illustration, though, of the other thing that got our attention, which was the plan to use portions of the old Western Bypass route. So they're calling this Leonard Sandridge Extended. Leonard Sandridge is the road that the university, North Grounds Connector, that, you know, they just got tired of waiting for. They just went ahead and built it so that people coming into JPJ and the Darden School and the Law School could just get right off 29 and they're there.
Right.
So one of the ideas way back when the Western Bypass was being discussed was that the North Grounds Connector, now called Leonard Sandridge Road, would connect to this Western Bypass.
Right. That would be a big cloverleaf interchange there.
Right. So what they're recommending is they're saying, you know, Charlottesville, you guys have been talking about parallel roads to 29 as part of Places 29. The two, of course, we've been talking about a lot on this show are Hillsdale Drive and Berkmar Drive Extended.
Right.
Berkmar being from like Fashion Square up to past the Sam's Club. And then the question is, how do you get it past the Sam's Club up to Hollymead Town Center?
You got to build a bridge.
So we've talked about Berkmar Drive and Hillsdale. They come in and they say, oh, we've got other ideas for you for parallel roads. And we happen to have a lot of land on which you could put them on. And what they're talking about are three different alternatives for an extended Leonard Sandridge Road. The first of which would go right by a neighborhood, Canterbury Hills, that is had an emergency meeting Sunday night.
I bet they did.
To talk about this. And we got some quotes from them in the article. But it would go right through their neighborhood and then run straight into Georgetown Road and use Georgetown Road for the rest of Leonard Sandridge Road Extended. Georgetown Road, of course, has been Dennis Rooker's top transportation priority for a decade. And hardly anything has happened on that project except that it's been scaled back and now we're talking about putting sidewalks and bike lanes, and that's about it.
Yeah.
So this would certainly supersize Georgetown Road.
And Georgetown Road already is one of the most traveled parallel roads. It doesn't go very far, but it is a parallel road to 29 that gets a lot of use.
Right. So let's assume that's not likely to happen. So then the next thing they say is, okay, well, we do have that bypass route. And if you wanted to use that, you could jump on the old Western Bypass property that we purchased. They haven't purchased all of it, but most of it. And there are two alternatives shown in this diagram. And I think they may have swung them a little further west than they meant to in the diagram. It's a little off. But as far as VDOT's diagram, which we copied, but they show two alternatives. One comes back, goes around Stillhouse Mountain, crosses Barracks Road, and then comes back around Albemarle High School, T-bones into hydraulic. Another would be a longer version that goes all the way to Earliesville Road. So
VDOT is still trying to build something akin to a Western Bypass.
Well, what they're saying, Coy, is that to make 29 and the corridor work effectively, they want to help us create parallel roads. Dennis Rooker is not excited about this. In fact, back in, I think it was April, he had this idea taken out of the MPO's priority list. The University of Virginia, I think, was sort of pushing it, and other folks were. And Dennis Rooker, you know, took the opportunity then to kill it at an early stage. And now it's reared its, he would say, ugly head, I guess. It's come back.
Yeah.
In the form of the VDOT corridor plan. And again, this has nothing to do with Places 29. This was something they've just added on here as part of their idea for the corridor.
Interesting. Very. But there's no money for any of this, is there? I mean, at the end of the day, there's no money for this stuff.
There's not.
But they have designers on staff that they got to keep busy. So well, I don't, design something for Charlottesville that we can't ever afford.
They were challenged to come up with a thoughtful model for the entire 29 corridor. These were little tweaks they thought they could do around Charlottesville. And again, you know, people look at these master plans as a way to say, hey, when we get money or we have new development, we can have an opportunity to get a proffer. Then we know what the plan looks like and we can start applying money to those buckets.
Yeah, yeah.
As we saw with the Meadow Creek Parkway, it may take 40 years to collect enough money to start the bulldozers going. Yeah. But
unless you're Northern Virginia or something, and then you just get
VDOT's,
money a lot easier.
VDOT's taking public comment tonight, 5 to 8 p.m., at the Department of Forestry building in the Fontaine Research Park.
We're talking with Brian Wheeler of Charlottesville Tomorrow, online at seavilletomorrow.org. We'll continue this conversation after a break for local news and weather.
Everybody get on your feet. You make me nervous when you're in your seat.
64 degrees in Central Virginia at 39 minutes after the hour of 5 o'clock. You're listening to News Radio 1070 WINA. I'm Coy Barefoot. This is Charlottesville right now. We're talking with Brian Wheeler, the executive director of Charlottesville Tomorrow, online at seavilletomorrow.org. He joins us every Tuesday afternoon to talk a little growth and development. What's this about a new special tax for a pump?
Thought that might get your attention.
Yeah.
I know how you love this water sewer infrastructure, Coy.
Let's talk about, that's what this is, right? This is a new pump for poo.
This is a poo pump.
Yeah.
Yes, it is.
Well, you got to move it somewhere. Where do they move it, Brian? It all goes down to...
Somebody came to our website and left a comment on this story, and they said, do I understand the facts correctly? The Service Authority is planning to decommission its Northern Albemarle Sewer Treatment Plant at Camelot in favor of building a pipeline from Northern Albemarle to the Moores Creek Sewer Treatment Plant in Charlottesville in order to treat the sewage. And I said, yes, that is correct. So they have this little wastewater treatment plant up.
How does the county get away with pumping their poo into Charlottesville? Do they pay Charlottesville extra money?
Don't worry, Charlottesville residents. There is a fee allocation.
Yeah.
There's a cost allocation agreement. So don't worry. Albemarle residents are paying for their poo.
So we pay Charlottesville a little extra money to take our...
Well, both localities pay the Ravana Water and Sewer Authority to take care of business on this end of the system.
And the big cleaner is down there at near Woolen Mills, right?
Right. What?
Right by the highway.
What they found?
You can smell it sometimes.
Sometimes. Hopefully, you know, they don't want you to be able to, and they spend a lot of time and money to try to minimize the smells. But anyway, at Moores Creek, that facility in Charlottesville, one of the reasons they're investing in a bigger system there is they've got new requirements from the Department of Environmental Quality, DEQ in Richmond, and related to the whole Chesapeake Bay Protection Act. And so they're real getting much more stringent on what can be released into the streams, in this case, the Ravana River, heading down to the James River and then the Chesapeake Bay. So they could try to build this, you know, better technology at all the different places we're treating stuff, or they could try to do it in one place as efficiently and effectively as possible. And I think they've decided the put all our eggs in one basket approach is a little better.
So this, a special rate, which is a tax, a special rate district is a tax for those in a certain area, right?
Well, the conundrum is, you know, Wendell Wood, the developer up 29 North, I think he told me once he paid to have this Camelot wastewater treatment plant built in the first place to support some of the development up there. And it's just reached the end of its lifespan and it's run out of capacity. So all the users that wanted to do development up there have had to get in line. And Wendell was able to get his Boulders Road Business Park complex, which is up above the National Ground Intelligence Center. That, I think, was sort of one of the last things to be able to be connected to this existing treatment plant. now all the new users, both at the University of Virginia, North Fork Research Park, and North Point, big proposed development from Airport Road running all the way to NGIC.
Oh, behind 84 Lumber, yeah.
Behind 84 Lumber, everything on the right side of 29 as you're heading north past Airport Road. They've had to wait because the sewer capacity has not been there. So you've seen Richard Spurzum is one of the developers. He was trying to move a project that's part of North Point forward and got stalled because this pump station wasn't in place. So what they're proposing is building a new pump station. The question is, how do you pay for it? They don't have the money to pay for it, so they're going to set up a special rate district, and the developers will pay a per-unit cost on top of what they're already paying to connect water and sewer.
So they pay extra money, which means the people who buy up in that area, the homeowners, will pay extra money to pump their poo down to Charlottesville.
That's what the developers always say, that you know that cost gets passed on to the homeowners.
That's a long way, Brian. And that's amazing. That's a long pipeline.
Well, think about the one from Crozet, though. Right?
Yeah, yeah.
Same thing. But this would cost about $11 million to build this sewer pump station. There actually be another little pump station to get around some gravity issues in certain places. But the so the added cost per home is in the neighborhood of, let me find it here, it's about $1,000 to $1,300
per house.
Per house.
For any of the homes built up in that area that are going to connect to this pump.
And they call them equivalent residential connections because, you know, if you're building a commercial office, how many homes is that? So they have this formula that figures out how many equivalent residential connections. They're banking on having 14,782 new residential connections.
So what's the time frame on this? Because they're not about to build all those homes.
Well, that's over the next 20 years. So they're saying over the next 20 years, we're planning on recovering that much revenue to total up to about $11 million so they can service the debt over time. We asked Jay Willer at the Blue Ridge Home Builders Association what he thought about this. He said they actually prefer this pay-as-you-go approach over proffering it all up front.
Yeah, well, I would imagine so. Now, how do the people in Charlottesville feel about a growing poo cleaning station down there at Morris Creek, because that's only going to get bigger if you're trying to clean the poo for all the people in Central Virginia. You know, every time you flush, it goes to Charlottesville.
Well, the people that have been most outspoken have been those around Woolen Mills who have dealt with the odors. And again, you know, I think Ravana Water and Sewer Authority is trying to, you know, they're making investments to try to scrub that air or whatever they need to do to make it better for the folks that live around there. There has not been I think, Coy, the big outcry from the public has been sort of, you know, keep your eye on the total cost here. It's all adding up. And so the ratepayers who are on county and city water and sewer are the ones who will foot the bill overall. This is the case where a special pump station is required. It's only required because of this new development coming in. So they're saying to the development community up there, you guys need to work with us to figure this out.
Yeah. So the people who buy your homes are going to be the ones who pay for it.
Yeah.
We're talking with Brian Wheeler of Charlottesville tomorrow. Betty is on line one. Betty, happy Tuesday.
Happy Tuesday. Hi, Brian and Coy. And I'm looking forward to next Tuesday when I get to be in your studio talking to Brian.
That's next Tuesday. That's
next
right.
Next Tuesday.
Yeah.
But here's my comment for today, and I really appreciate Brian and Charlottesville tomorrow putting the podcast up about this meeting and all the information. What I think is really interesting is what you just said, Coy, is they don't want to pay for this up front. It's pay as you go. And the developers came to the Elmwood Service Authority, and they had a ruckus. It was one of the biggest meetings attended of public people to complain about what the service authority was going to do. They wanted to have an upfront cost and not a pay-as-you-go. And the developers won out, and the Elmwood Service Authority listened to them. But I think what we have to notice from this is when we have to have a big, huge dam bill and a pipeline, it's not pay-as-you-go. It's cost up front. And the ratepayers have been going to the service authority and going to all of our elected officials and saying, we should have a more gradual approach to this. But they're not listening to us. But when the developers came in, they got listened to. And I think it's very interesting that we, once again, it's very hard for ordinary citizens to be heard, to have their concerns heard, but when developers have a concern, they are listened to.
And Brian, that's got to be frustrating for you, because that was one of the whole dreams and visions of Charlottesville Tomorrow. This is one of the whole reasons y'all exist, is so that citizens and not just developers are really at the table and participating in this conversation.
Well, Betty, of course, is at all of these meetings, so she doesn't need our podcast. But for the other residents out there, this does give a way for people like Betty to share information. You know, here's a meeting I attended. If you want to listen to it, here's a link you can go to on our website. I guess what I would say is the developers definitely got the attention of the service authority. This was another issue. This was just the overall connection rates. And they did get sort of a moratorium that the price increase would only be in the 13 to 15% range effective this month. But they did not get out of jail all the way. That in March, the full impact of that price increase is going to take effect. So, you know, they gave them a little bit of breathing room. But again, you know, the developers would say these costs are adding up. In fact, I was in a meeting today, what's called the Fiscal Impact Advisory Committee in the county, and Ken Boyd was there, and he said, listen, you know those cash proffer expectations that we decided upon as a locality, that we said for every housing unit we were going to get a certain amount of cash to mitigate the impact of that development? Mr. Boyd said, you know, I think we need to revisit that given the economy and the fact that homes are not getting built right now. He described our home builders as the factory workers of our community, and that if we wanted to get our factory workers to work, we needed to make it easier for them to build homes. So this, the pressure, I think, is building from the development community to say, listen, these costs are adding up. You're making it hard for us to figure out how to finance these projects, how to plan for them. And so I'm just sort of reflecting the different conversations that I know Betty's been involved with as well. But it's
the costs on this
it's always
water
interesting.
Plan as well. And I just appreciate kind of equal time. So I do appreciate, Brian, I wasn't at that meeting, and I do appreciate that you did put the podcast up. So thanks.
There you go. Betty, thank you so much for the call, and we'll look forward to seeing you next week.
Okay.
Absolutely. Betty will be live in studio next week for an issues forum exploring some of the details, disagreements, and common views as well regarding the 50-year water supply plan, the new dam, dredging, the pipeline, all of that good stuff in the 5 o'clock hour 1 week from today with Betty Mooney and Brian Wheeler. Join us, won't you? Now, what's this about a new traffic light? What are you laughing at?
I was just hoping you weren't going back to septic.
No, we're done. Let's move on.
New traffic lights.
Yeah, there's a new traffic light for Route 250.
Well, what's interesting, one of our staff, Connie Chang, wrote a story that was in the Progress about a site plan for Luck Stone. Luck Stone is the quarry operation at 250 East, right before you get to the turnoff for Stone Robinson Elementary and before you get to Glenmore.
Yeah, yeah.
And the Shadwell store used to be there. I think they've torn that down. I think I read
at that intersection.
In the hook.
Yeah.
So they tore down that old store.
Yeah.
But that's where Route 22 goes north, and you have that sort of triangular interchange.
If you go off to the right, it's right there on the left.
So one of the challenges for traffic out that way has been the big Luck Stone trucks. You know, they come lumbering out of Luck Stone, and they're big, they're heavy, and they have uphill runs on each side of their main entrance at Luck Stone. So it takes them a little while to come up to speed. And that's been a concern of the community. So Luck Stone had a site plan. They want to, I think it was move an office and set up a different entrance for Luck Stone. And one of the things they've realized with this is that they're going to have to add a traffic light at Route 22 and 250. So what now is that interchange that does not have a traffic light will soon have one. And the general sense of the community was that was a good thing, and of the Planning Commission in Albemarle County, because it would improve the safety of all the traffic on that road and having to commingle with these heavy trucks.
But another traffic light on 250.
But another traffic light.
Which is a secondary highway. It's very strange. It, you know what I mean? You put a traffic light on a highway.
Yeah.
But that's been the fate of 250 and 29.
So that's moving forward. That one will not go in front of the Board of Supervisors. I believe the site plan was approved. And so that will go forward, and then VDOT will put in the light when, you know, the warrants require it.
What do you think it'll go in the next few months? Or
No, because I think they have to build their entrance, and I'm not sure what the timing of that is for Luckstone, but they'll reconfigure that interchange.
What else you got? We got a couple of minutes.
Yeah, we had some interesting news in Charlottesville on yard sales. You know, they were flirting with putting the police out there, not the police, but the zoning police,
yeah,
looking for people having yard sales illegally. And by that mean, you flirt with danger if you have a yard sale like every weekend at your house.
Yeah.
Because then it looks like a business. And apparently that requires a permit.
And I have to say, and I won't say where it is, but I know a house. It's not even in Albemarle County, but I know a house that does this. And it looks trashy. They do it every weekend. And it does look trashy. It's like they have a store.
These sales apparently require a temporary use permit from the city, which costs $250. And the problem is people have not been getting those. So the zoning staff said, hey, you know, people are not following the law. We've got all these signs being put up. The signs, by the way, are apparently illegal as well.
Oh, when you put up yard sale signs?
Yeah, when you put up yard sale signs.
I don't see any problem with that, especially if you take them down. But you shouldn't be doing it every single
weekend.
Well,
we'll come back to that in a moment, taking them down. But the City Planning Commission talked about this, and they basically decided, you know what, let's not overcomplicate this and start having people, if they just want to have a periodic yard sale, have to come and fill out paperwork and, you know, $5 form or whatever. They decided not to do it. And instead, they're going to write up some guidelines that can be used to describe, you know, here's the process you have to go through if you want to have a yard sale.
Yeah.
And one of the things that was funny at the end of the story, we said we noted that they directed the staff to develop the guidelines and mentioned that posting the signs is illegal. But then they also said, but if you do put up signs, please take them down right after right after the yard sale.
Why is it illegal to put up a yard sale over here Saturday from 9 to 1?
Well,
I've never understood why is that illegal. I mean, you don't want to leave them up. Go take them down when your yard sale's over, but...
Well,
that's never hurt anybody, has it?
Whose property are you putting those signs on?
Oh, is that what it is?
Well,
that ain't your pole. That kind of thing?
Yeah, I think that's part of it. Lord. And if they start,
come on.
If they allow signs, then they have to allow all signs. You know, it's sort of, you run into...
Klan meeting at 3 o'clock.
You run into First Amendment issues, you do. So if they open the door for signs, then they have to open the door for all signs. That's part of the road.
I hear you. Brian Wheeler, check him out online at SeavilleTomorrow.org. Joins us every Tuesday afternoon. Be with us this coming Saturday at the Crozet Mud House at 12 noon for the Seaville Pie Fest for a town that loves its pie. You can learn more online at SeavillePieFest.com. Thank you, Brian.
Thank you, Coy.
You've been listening to Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot. Charlottesville Right Now is broadcast live Monday through Friday on News Radio 1070 WINA from 4 to 6 p.m. Best-selling author and historian Coy Barefoot is the host and producer. To interact with Coy and his guests, you can call 434-977-1070. Coy can be reached at barefoot@wina.com. This audio download has been made possible by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network. Visit SeavillePodcast.com for more.